We're climbing the steps of maturity. We can have a look at the slide there and where we got to. Now, different Bible versions, depending what you read, talks about washings, baptisms, ritual rites. And the point is what I'm making here with all my is that these are all plural, and which means there's reference to more than one washing. And in part four, Michael did an amazing job, great job of teaching us on the baptism of water and baptism. So if any of you haven't been baptized as yet, you need to see me after the service. We're doing baptism next Sunday at the Feast of Nations. And so we want you to come and follow the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ and be being baptized. Today, we're going to look at baptism in the Holy Spirit. And that's why I'm excited. We look at, and throughout the whole of the New Testament, we see the emphasis on the power and the ministry of Holy Spirit. And this was even prophesied in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Then he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might nor my power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." This is a prophetic word to Zerubbabel, who had been put in charge of rebuilding the temple. And God states that the obstacles of rebuilding this temple will be not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Who knows that there's a typology here for us when we understand that in our life we have stuff. We have issues. Who doesn't have issues? Okay, I'm speaking to the right people. But what the Lord is saying is not by might, not by power, but by His Spirit will help us to deal with all the stuff that we carry around with us. And we want to know that, so we understand that Jesus had come, the price had been paid, He'd been nailed to the cross, all our sins, past, present, and future, had been nailed to the cross with Him. He had died on the cross, was taken down, buried in the tomb for 3 days, resurrected, and now He sits at the right hand of the Father in all His glory, interceding for us daily and sitting up there and speaking about. And the New Testament, what we want to have to understand is the New Testament speaks of being born of the Spirit and being baptized in the Spirit. And we are anointed, we are gifted, we are empowered, we are by the Spirit, we live and walk and breathe by the Holy Spirit. We don't live by the flesh, we live by the Spirit, right? We bear the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, right? There we go, okay, we're warming up. Now when we study the Bible, we will see that everything, Genesis to Revelation, always pointed forward to the coming Christ, the coming Messiah. But it also points forward to the Parakletos, the Holy Spirit who would be given to us. So let's have a look. Number one, the promise of the Holy Spirit. That was foretold by the prophets. It was prophesied by the prophets, Joel 2:28. "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men, hallelujah, shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female servants in those days I will pour out my Spirit." And then we have a look and we see in Acts chapter 2 when Peter stands up, he says, "This is it. This is what was prophesied, and now this is what's happening." Aren't we excited about that? Good. Because it was also, number two, spoken by John the Baptist. Matthew 3:11, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry." Now that's a whole new Jewish idiom which we don't have time to talk about, but we will one day. And then it says, "He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire." John Baptist wasn't just saying, "Well, he's not worthy." There's a whole idiom under all that thing, but it's just good to go and study it for yourselves. Number three, it was promised by Jesus. In John 14:16, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper." I love that word, another. It means that Jesus was the first helper. He was sending another because the Holy Spirit, Father sent Jesus, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. And so we understand that. And to be with you forever. Forever means for all time. Ever and ever and forever and ever. Not like come and go and come and go. Luke 24:49, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. And that's the end of the book of Luke. And then we get to the book of Acts, who Dr. Luke writes for us. And then he says to you, O Theophilus, of all the things that Jesus began to do and to teach, etc., etc., etc. Now we have to understand something. In the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, there is a lot of evidence, and we read it in Scripture, because that's where we get the evidence of someone's clever thinking, that the Holy Spirit came in the Old Testament, because he came upon Samson and Gideon and a donkey and all that stuff. But that was temporary. It wasn't forever and ever. It was only for a temporary moment when the Holy Spirit wanted to do something and wanted to empower something, like priests or kings or judges or prophets, that he would come upon them. But it was a temporary thing until, because Jesus had not come, and this Jesus had not been glorified, and that, but we see in the New Testament, Jesus says, for all time, mankind. Number four, the promise is for all, and we see Peter's sermon. Acts 2:36, and let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to their hearts and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized. Now if you repent and haven't been baptized, next Sunday, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promises for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. So we see this is an ever thing and forever, and that Holy Spirit would be given forever. Now we need to understand there is a difference because, and I'm going to go into a little bit of detail of it this morning, so I hope it's not too boring. Born of Holy Spirit and baptized in Holy Spirit. Because some people have confused born of the Holy Spirit and baptized in the Holy Spirit and have said, no, it's just the one thing. Some people have said when you get saved, new birth, that you get the Holy Spirit and that's it, no more. That's a different dispensation, and that's more for those who preach cessationism, which we do not. And so we understand that yes, when you are born of the Spirit, born from God above, from heaven above, and that you are born of the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit comes to reside in you. However, there is another time where you are filled with the Holy Spirit, and that is continual thereafter. There are two different, distinct operations of the Spirit. Both are operations of the same Spirit, but the baptism in the Holy Spirit is different experience from and is subsequent to be born of the Spirit. You cannot be filled, baptized in the Holy Spirit if you have not been born of the Holy Spirit. John 14:16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and you will be in you. In Corinthians, Paul writes and says, those that are not of the Spirit do not understand the things of the Spirit. And we're going to talk about it, another guy in the Bible who didn't know about the Spirit, although he was a very learned man. His name is Nicodemus. John 3:1, I'm so glad you asked. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi. So now understand that Nicodemus was part of the Pharisees and he was a part of the Sanhedrin, the leaders of the Jews, and he would know the Torah off by heart. He would know the first five books of the Bible as we know it today, the Torah, the Pentateuch, the books of five books of Moses. You know what I'm talking about? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He would understand this, and he would know that if he read Numbers 4-9, under the law, he knew how to go to heaven, under the law. How, according to the law, he was born again. Okay, but however, he would not grasp this heaven-to-earth revelation as being born from above. Born of the Spirit, baptized in the Spirit. And so let's read on. Where did I get to? Rabbi, now you know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him. So this learned rabbi now recognizes Yeah, no, don't laugh. This rabbi, teacher, knew these things, and he acknowledges it. And Jesus answered him, truly, truly. Now, we know when there's a double truly, it means you pay attention and listen to what I'm about to say to you. I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What? Nicodemus said. They don't write it in scripture even. What? What's up? Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, pay attention, Nicodemus. I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, there are a number of people who will say, oh, well, that means this and that means that. And this is what. But people have tried to get to grips with this piece of passage and say, well, if you don't do this, you can't do that. And so some say to enter the kingdom of heaven, say, no, don't be silly, Nicodemus. Of course, you have to be born of water, because when you're in your mother's womb and you're in the mother's sac, there's the amniotic fluids that surround you as a child. And when you come out, you're born of the water, and then you're born as a human, and then you've got to be born by the Spirit. And so that's what that means. No, it doesn't. Just if you think that way, let me help you. Because he didn't understand the scripture. This made no sense to him, for this enlightened guy. And so, because we have to understand that some are saying that to enter heaven, you have to be baptized and born of the Spirit. And that's not true either, because otherwise the thief didn't make it on the cross. He says, well, doesn't stand true to scripture, because we are saved by grace and faith alone. If it was, you have to. Why do we make a big thing about baptism? Water baptism, that is. And Michael explained it beautifully last time. Is that it's an obedience to Christ. Repent and be baptized. That's not hard. You know, in the New Testament, they got baptized, they got saved and baptized at the moment. Well, I haven't got the right outfit on. We haven't got any water. No, we have. We fill up the tank. The water might be a little bit cold. And we can baptize you in your clothes. But we give you prior notice so you don't fall into the trap. I know people. I've been in South Africa and preached out in the bush, and people have got saved. And then they said, let's go baptize. So we've gone into the river and watched for the crocodiles and baptized people in the river. Praise God, no crocodiles came. They were going, hallelujah. Anyway, so that's out the window. So what is the correct one that we see then, when this born of water and of Spirit is both describing the same aspects of spiritual birth, what it means to be born again or born from above. When Jesus says to Nicodemus, you must be born of water and Spirit, he was not referring to literal water or baptism of the amniotic fluids or baptism in water. What he was referring to was the need for spiritual cleansing and renewal. Now, because understanding time, place, tech, context, etc., all that, Nicodemus was a Pharisee and a Sanhedrin, so therefore he was under the covenant, old covenant, and he understood the law. So yes, Jesus saying to him, you have to be born of water. We have to have been cleansed. And we can see that as a typology of being saved, because if we read in Ezekiel 36:25, it says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness and from all your idols, and I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit, and I'll put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you the heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and you can cause you to walk in statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Old Testament, there was often water was used as a cleansing agent in a typology, and also literally to go and have a bath and get cleansed. So, but the question is, what does the Bible say? Well, let's have a look and see what the Bible says. Let's look at the differences between being born of the Spirit and being baptized in the Spirit. So I've done a little diagram up there for you to have a look. So let's look at Jesus. Jesus was born of the Spirit. He was born of the Virgin Mary through the Holy Spirit. 30 years later, he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. although Jesus was always fully God and fully man, okay? So baptized in the Spirit, we see the River Jordan experience, and there the scriptures, and Jesus goes and he's in goes into the River Jordan and he's baptized, and we know the story. He comes up out of and the scripture says, and the Holy Spirit, depending what version you're reading, came and descended upon him, and he was filled with Holy Spirit. And that's why every day we have a look, and there's the Holy Spirit hovering over Toronto, if you didn't ever notice that, but now you do. And we say that, well, the Holy Spirit's a dove. No, it's a typology that they're talking about. And here we have Jesus being filled, and the voice of God speaks out. Everybody heard the voice of God. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Then we look at Jesus' disciples. Now we have to understand Jesus' disciples were saved through repentance from dead works. They were saved under the baptism of John, and therefore they had the Spirit of God in them, but they didn't have been baptized in the Spirit. How do we know that? Because then we get to baptized in the Spirit. It says, wait for my Father's promise. Acts chapter 1, verse 5. And then we see Pentecost come. And at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit fell and like cloven tongues upon the head and fire upon the heads and separated and fell on each one. And why are we talking about that? The wrong prayer to pray is, Holy Spirit, come fall on us now. We want another Holy Spirit to come. No, no, no. He already has come. 2,000 years ago, he came. Fell on them and filled them, baptized them in the Holy Spirit. He is around us. He's with us. And that's why we are careful to pray. Thank you for your presence, Holy Spirit. We don't have to beg and plead of him, please, to come. Because if you are filled with the Holy Spirit and have been infilled by the Holy Spirit, or baptized in the Holy Spirit, when you walk through that door, that's when you come. This is not a temple. This is not a sanctuary. This is not God's house. This is just a cool building, because this is God's house. This is God's temple. This is God's sanctuary. There is no brick and mortar sanctuary anymore. Old Testament, New Testament, New Covenant. And then in John 20:20, he says, Jesus came and he took his disciples and he breathed on them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Samaritan disciples. Philip the evangelist, he goes in Acts chapter 8, verses 5 to 8, verse 12, 14. And Samaria gets saved and they receive the word. Then what does he do? He calls for the apostles to come. Peter and John go down. They lay hands and they receive the Holy Spirit. Now Jesus has already been glorified and ascended to the Father. So the Spirit has been sent now. He is here with us. So this is born of the Spirit. Baptized in the Spirit. Paul the Apostle, Damascus Road. Today, he would be classified as a terrorist, going about killing Christians. Did you think of that? Acts chapter 9, he has this Damascus Road experience. And then a little bit later in verse 17 of Acts chapter 9, Ananias is sent to lay hands on Paul to receive his sight, because he was blinded on the Damascus, and to receive Holy Spirit. Gentile converts. Peter preached to the Gentiles, Acts 10, 1. Peter 1, 20, writes to the whole diaspora and says, you've already been saved, but you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we see that these Gentiles were born in the Spirit, then filled with the Spirit, and Acts, the scriptures are there. Ephesians disciples, same thing. Previously converted, Acts 19, verses 1 to 6. Then Paul lands hands on them. Acts 19:1-6. Let's just read that piece. And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples, which means what? They already become followers of Christ. They were now disciples. They weren't running around not knowing what to do. And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, no. We haven't even heard of the Holy Spirit. And he said, into what then were you baptized? They said, into John's baptism. What was John's baptism? Repent and be saved. It was a repentance baptism. And Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus. I love it when the scriptures helps explain it for us, because maybe we don't get it. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. So the revelation of this thing, I hope by now you see through Scripture, there are two separate, distinct, and different operations of the same Spirit. Born of the Spirit, baptized in the Spirit. Similarly, you can't be baptized in water until you've been born of the Spirit. I know people do that. They're going, well, I need to get baptized. So they get baptized, but they've never given their life to Jesus. They really just went for a bath. I'm telling you, in the spiritual realm, that's all that happened. You got wet. You were not baptized. It's getting quiet in here. When you come to it, similarly, you can't be baptized in the Spirit until you've been born of the Spirit. They follow each other. They are subsequent to each other. Each follow after. Here's this little quote thing. Baptism in the Holy Spirit is a distinct operation of the Spirit by the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the baptizer. We baptize in water. Jesus baptized in Holy Spirit. It is a supernatural experience and anointing for equipping one for God's service. It is an experience at or subsequent to and different from the new birth. Let me put it this way. There's a difference between drinking a glass of water, because now the water's in me, and jumping into the water. Now the water's all around me and in me and over me and filling me and helping me, if we put it that way. So we can, born of the Spirit, drink of the water, baptized in the Spirit, into the water. Now don't confuse with what I'm saying is baptism. So we understand it. So let's have a look, before we finish, something else that could be contentious depending what your background is, and that would be baptized in Holy Spirit and tongues. Mostly the evidence of being baptized in Holy Spirit is the release of the gift of tongues. Because some have believed if you don't speak in tongues, then you haven't been filled by the Holy Spirit. Not true. It's an evidence, and we'll look at Scripture. However, you cannot speak in tongues until you're baptized in Holy Spirit. However, you can be baptized in Holy Spirit and still not speak in tongues. Why? Because it's a gift. It's a gift from God. So, when I grew up in church, I was told, gift of tongues is from the devil. Now, if I was bright and smart enough, I could have thought, but all good gifts come from my Father above. If this is in the Bible, then it's got to be a good gift, right? You know, sometimes we just check our brains at the door. We got to learn to be like the Bereans and think about this stuff a little bit. So I was saved when I was about 14, born of the Spirit. But never, because of where my church thing, never got baptized in the Spirit. So I really never had much understanding and power in the Holy Spirit. So there was a time I came and I walked away from God in the church and went and did my own thing. And then I came back to it and recommitted my life to the Lord. And then they were all, now I was in a charismatic church, and they were like, "Woo! You got to get baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues." And I was like, heck no. My last pastor told me this is a bad gift. I don't want this. As if I could debate with God, of course. But then he was like, okay. So I asked the Lord for some gifts, and he gave them to me. He was very gracious and kind and loving, like all good fathers are. And then now I'm born of the Spirit, but now don't want. Now I've noticed every Sunday when this church that I was in would call people up to the front to be prayed for, like 50 people would go up and they'd all pray for them. So I was like, cool, I could get lost in the crowd. So one Sunday, they say, who wants to be prayed for the infilling of the Holy Spirit? So I jump up out of my chair and I go to the front, and I get to the front and I realized, oops, bad Sunday. Because why? You're right. I'm the only fool standing there. And the pastor's very gracious. He's coming to minister here next month. His name's Greg Haswell. Very gracious, because now I'm thinking, if you touch me and try and push me over, buddy, we're going to have war. So he saw that I was locked. I had a better body on me in those days. And he said, relax. He says, I'm not going to touch you. He just put his hand out to pray for me. Man, I flew like 10 feet backwards, hit the floor, and I just lay there. Yeah, praise God. And I just lay there. And I didn't know what was going on with me. And then everybody got up and left. And I got up and I was changed. I was different. Bridget will tell you. I went home and offered to sweep the driveway. However, I still never spoke in tongues because I was like, no, 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 I don't want this. Months later, we were at a friend's house having dinner. And I'm telling you all these stories to help you understand what Scripture is saying to us. I went in there and we were sitting talking and we weren't even talking about speaking in tongues. We were just talking about friends and we were eating. And I went to put food in my mouth and I opened my mouth and all of a sudden this heavenly language burst out of my mouth. And I was like, what was that? And all the spiritual people sitting around the table said, that's the gift of tongues. I was like, I don't know if I asked for this thing. But the Lord was gracious and kind and allowed me to mature a little bit so that I could understand what was going on. So that's a little bit about my story, but now let's look at what the Bible says, okay? Because that's a good thing. 1 Corinthians 12:4. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in operation, if you read that. Now it could be also read varieties different. There are different gifts, same Spirit. There are different services, same Lord. There are different activities, same God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit in operation. Now, what we also have to understand is that Romans 12 is the gift that you have. If a man's gift, the Bible says, is, and then they give you this gift, it's in your DNA, it's who God. 1 Corinthians 12 is not your gift. It belongs to the Holy Spirit. But He is so eager that to use us, that He will manifest that gift upon us, like it is like putting a jacket on us, as it were. And when we're done with that, we take it off. So the question should always be, what is the most important gift? That's what we think. Well, the most important gift is if I'm sick, I don't want you prophesying over me. I want you to come and lay hands on me and heal me. Well, Jesus heals us. If I'm healthy and I'm looking to the future, I'd like a prophecy. So what's the most important gift? Or if I'm thirsty, I'd like someone to make me a cup of coffee and pour me a cup of coffee. Hospitality. There is no important gift. The most important gift is the one that's needed at that point in time. Verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Therefore, it's not your gift. It's given to you. And if so, the Lord gives you a word. And you go, yeah, no, not me today, Lord. He says, okay, let me just give it to the person next to you. Because His will be done. He will bring what He needs to bring. And then you sit afterwards, or you come to me afterwards, you say, oh, I had that word. Yeah, moment's gone. Rather just be obedient and bring the word. I felt to pray for that person. They were sick. No, someone else did because you were disobedient. Yeah, we don't like the dis words. Disenchanted. Anyway, these gifts are not along. They belong to the Godhead, but He will give us and use it. And when you are faithful in that gift, and someone next to you is disobedient, who do you think He's going to use again? Why? Because they're obedient. And then, unfortunately, we allow the flesh to creep in and go, oh, I have this gift. So here's a sober moment for you this morning. It's not yours. Always belongs to the Holy Spirit. He's gracious enough to use us in those gifts. We are just simply the conduit. And that's why you will see we are careful. We love hearing testimonies, but we are careful to always make sure that Jesus gets the glory. I was feeling sick, and Bridget came and prayed for me, and Bridget healed me. No, she never did. And we will never read that out. We will go, I was sick, and someone came and prayed for me, and praise God and give Him the glory. Doesn't matter who prayed for you, because do you know you can all do that? There's not a certain few who can do that. Verse 8. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and another the utterance of knowledge, and according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Should say Selah after there. pause and think. Verse 11, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually. We're all gifted. We can all be used by Him if we are obedient and step into that. Tongues and interpretation of tongues are His gift given to us for His purpose and for the common good. 1 Corinthians 13, 1, if I speak in tongues of men and of angels, so some people have said there's no such thing as tongues. There's no such things as Sunday, Monday, Monday, any other day but Sunday. There's not that anymore. When the Bible's talking about tongues, they're talking about known languages. Okay? Now, that was the argument my mother gave me before she was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. And I said to her, Mom, what about this scripture? If I speak in the tongues of men, well, we know what that is, in Hindi, Sinhalese, English, French, Portuguese, German, Dutch, pick a language. Tongues of men and of angels. So here Paul is saying, although I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm not a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. The point is, there is a tongue of men and of angels. And Paul is speaking in tongues of men and of angels. The point is not how God uses us, but if we don't have love when we do it, if we get all puffed up and arrogant, then you're just like making noise. So that's the point of that. 1 Corinthians 14:1, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gift. Earnestly desire. We should come to church ready, Lord, use me today, on time. Especially that you may prophesy, for one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men but to God. What would be the point of me speaking to God in Greek or Portuguese or French? He gave me my own language, English. What would be the point of doing that with God when I could speak in English? Anyway, I'm just saying, let's think. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their building up and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself. Speaking in tongues is like spiritual warfare. It's going to war. It's like going to the gym. It's like, come on. Speaks, builds himself. But the one who prophesies builds up the church. So unless there's interpretation in the Corinthian church, unless they were interpreting something, there was no point in speaking out loud in tongues. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless some interprets, so that the church may be built up. Earnestly seek the gift. So now, there was a known language to the point of speaking to God. That's a pointless exercise. Biblically, I believe God can grant both. Now, there is debate in Acts chapter 2. When the guys came out and they were being in the upper room and full. Now, some people definitely say they were speaking in languages because they said, who are these Galileans speaking in Mede and Persian and blah, blah, blah? Now, read scripture carefully. It says, we heard them say. Now, let me tell you a story about a friend of mine who did a bad thing and was sent to jail. And while in jail, of course, you find Jesus. The good news is to say that was a long time ago, and now he is a pastor. He leads a church and doing exceptionally well. He came to Jesus in prison and was walking through the yard, walking around the yard, praying in tongues. And three dudes stopped him. What are you doing? He said, no, no, I'm just talking to God. I'm just walking. They looked at him. Next day, same story. He says, no, 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 I'm just talking to God. He said, no, 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 you're not talking to God. So he now clicks in his head. He says, so what am I saying? Now, these were three Zulu guys. He doesn't speak Zulu, my friend. And he says, well, what was I saying? And they say, you were telling us about this man, Jesus, who died on a cross for us and shed his blood. And he rose again in 3 days and he's seated with the Father in heaven. And we can come to him and be saved. And they did. But now, my friend still does not speak Zulu. At the team time in South Africa last year, there was a guy from West Africa, and he stood up and gave his testimony. The Lord told him to go and plant a church in another place in West Africa. And he said, but Lord, they speak a different dialect. They speak a different language. I don't understand their language. I can't read it. I can't write it. How am I going to go and plant a church there? And the Lord said, fine. He went to bed and he woke up the next morning and he could speak that language and read it and write it fluently. And he still can do that. And he went and planted a church. There was another lady with a friend of ours was talking to her, and she said, oh, I just got saved and I got filled with the Holy Spirit and I'm speaking in tongues. And she said, what? She was a Jewish lady. And she says, well, what's that speaking in tongues? What's that all about? She says, this is what it is. And she goes off and she's speaking, and her friend who's Jewish says, that sounds like Hebrew. She said, well, I can't speak Hebrew. She said, oh, one second. Hello, Rabbi. This is so-and-so from the synagogue. I got a friend here who wants to say something. He says, yeah, speak to the Rabbi. So she speaks in tongues, prays in tongues. And the Rabbi goes, And then she says, does it make any sense to me? He says, yes, you've just introduced me to my Messiah. God's ways are mysterious. So do I believe that if somebody came in here, we were all here, and there was a German who didn't understand a single word of English, and the Lord wanted to get someone could come up and start speaking in German. I believe that in a natural language. And that person will hear what they need to hear from God. I also believe, just because of experiences, that you can come up here and prophesy, and it sounds like to all of us like gobbledygook, heavenly language, but that person sitting over there who's Armenian says, I hear you speaking Armenian to me. And then, of course, I also believe in God just grants us this gift of a heavenly language. Now, what I'm saying is I want us to spend some time in ministry this morning, and we want to baptize people in the Holy Spirit. But what I'm saying through all this teaching, if you don't speak in tongues, don't think you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit. And for those praying for you, don't be going, just let your tongue loose, just try a few words. No. It's a gift. You know, unfortunately, we've seen too much of this weird stuff around. Now just say, la, 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 and your one-year-old will understand you. No, don't do that. Just pray. Earnestly desire the gifts. If Holy Spirit wants to fill you and give you a heavenly language, if you've never spoken in tongues, then that's good. If you don't, that's also good. As you understand, that happened to me. Twice I was put on the floor for 20 minutes, half an hour, and then got up and never spoke in tongues. And then at another time, just sitting at a dinner table, I told you, just all came out. I don't understand how it works. But I just go to Scripture and see, what does Scripture say? And so Paul says, I wish that you would all prophesy. I wish you all spoke in tongues, but we don't. If it was, you'd have to say, you should all speak in tongues. So it's not. This is not a moment to make you feel like a second-class citizen because somebody told you or somebody spoke into your head. Please listen to this pastor today. Freedom, liberty in Jesus Christ. Freedom in Holy Spirit.